You are listening to CKMS News on 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo. Today is June 8, 2023. And this is Trish Holmes with a piece on the recent demonstration to raise awareness about the homelessness crisis in Willow River Park, featuring interviews with the organizers, several of the attendees, and a current resident of the outdoor shelter at 1001 Herb Street West in Waterloo. On Friday, May 26th and Saturday, May 27th, the Unhoused Experience 24-Hour Challenge was held in Willow River Park in downtown Kitchener and organized by Fight Back KW and the Alan Ryan People's Defense Brigade. The event invited people to pitch tents for 24 hours in the park, participate in workshops, and listen to advocates and people who have experience being unhoused tell their stories. The official invite for the Unhoused Experience states that by the beginning of June in 2003, the region of Waterloo will have less than 250 emergency shelter beds. But there are more than 1,000 unsheltered community members, and this number is growing all the time. With the outdoor shelter now up and running at 1001 Herb Street West, which is on the edge of town and out of visibility of most people's daily life, the organizers want to ensure everyone understands these issues are still here and they don't disappear when you suddenly stop seeing tents in the park. This event comes 1 month after the city of Kitchener closed public access to Roos Island in their effort to relocate people who had been living in an encampment on Roos Island for the last year. The city of Kitchener warned the organizers of the Unhoused Experience that tents or other structures are not allowed in the park, and bylaw officers were prepared to hand out trespass notices or even fines of up to $5,000. Despite the threats, the organizers of the event went ahead with their demonstration anyways. We talked to people at the demonstration about some of the main issues regarding the housing crisis and being unhoused, the growing number of unhoused youth, the misinformation about 1001 Herb Street West, and the tendency of the government and the police to either treat this issue as criminal or put it on the back burner completely. The music on today's show was performed by a group of Indigenous women at the demonstration. They told me it is called Strong Women and is meant to provide comfort during times of isolation and need. Thank you to them for giving me consent to play it on today's show. First off, I talked to Kyle Wall, who told us why he was at the event.
My name is Kyle Wall. I'm a musician and activist that's lived in Kitchener for most of my life. And I'm here because I've long been an advocate for unhoused people and affordable housing. But recently I became unhoused myself, so now I also have real-world experience that gives me a perspective I'd like to share with people. Tonight we're doing a 24-hour challenge where the original idea was to challenge people to live like the unhoused do with us for a night here, just to sort of spread awareness. And the moment the police don't seem to be too happy with that idea, so we're going to sort of play it by ear and see how that part goes. But for the most part, we're here to spread awareness and hopefully make the homeless issue visible enough that people can't continue ignoring it.
The organizer of the event, Jamie Steef, reiterated what Kyle said, in that one of the main purposes of the event was to remind people that the homelessness crisis is still happening, and in fact, it is getting worse. She told me the reason why they chose Willow River Park to hold the event in was to actually take up space in the park, and in doing so, to remind people of the homelessness crisis. Other priorities for the event included educating the general public, but also specific skill building, education, and support for people who have or are experiencing oppression and trauma. Being unhoused is a serious problem for anyone, but for youth it poses specific dangers. Next, I talked to Jack, who talked me through her experience of youth homelessness.
My name is Jack Spicer-Forler, and I'm 18. I'm here to join the protest for the encampment, in support of the encampment, and community members facing homelessness in the region. I was unhoused for a minimal amount of time when I was 12 years old. At that point, I was sleeping at bus stops and couch surfing at my friends' houses.
And you were talking about how there's a lot of children who are unhoused.
Yes.
And that it's common around 12 to be unhoused.
Yes. I did have a lot of friends, especially back then, who were around my age and also going through homelessness and being in shelters and couch surfing and landing in unsafe situations and things like that. Most of them were around 12 or 13, around the time that they were doing this. Right.
And so what happens with your schooling or anything like that? It just doesn't happen.
Education is like next to impossible without access to busing, without access to shelter. You know, if you don't have clean clothes or water or anything like that, you know, how are you supposed to be prepared to get an education? So if you don't have any of those resources, you can't get an education. You have to, you know, completely focus on survival.
At 12, 13.
Right, yeah, which is crazy.
And then exposed to violence probably as well.
Absolutely. I had many friends who were going into shelters and other encampments, and they were dealing with sexual trauma and domestic violence and encounters with authority figures who would inflict violence onto them. So it was very common for that kind of experience, and we often talked a lot about that when my friends were going into shelters. Like, I have a 16-year-old and an 18-year-old living with me right now because they were going to face homelessness if my mother and I didn't open our home to them. So that's the reality. Like, we're all one situation away from being in that situation, especially as a youth, in whether you're in a tumultuous household or, you know, like, your guardian passes away or your guardian can't take care of you anymore, then you're on your own. There's nothing that you can do. So, yeah.
Yeah. And there's not much that is being done.
No. Like, we have our encampments here at this park and in other places on Weber, on Herb, but they're not enough, and there's not enough space for youth, and there's not enough safe sheltering ideas for these youth. Most of them are, you know, put into one room where they're exposed and there's no privacy. So it is a very unsafe situation for them.
The region's response to the current homelessness crisis is the outdoor shelter at 1001 Herb Street West in Waterloo. The site holds 50 cabins, with one person per cabin expected. Tracy, who is a current resident of the shelter, came to the demonstration to tell us how it is working or not working.
There was a lot of promises made when we got to that cabin. They didn't tell us that we couldn't have visitors. You know, a second reason was we have a lock on our door. We can actually lock our door when we leave our house. We come back, and my stuff is still there. To me, that is amazing. That's the most amazing thing in the world, to come back to your own dwelling and your stuff hasn't been touched. But with all this said, one of the other things, sorry, was food. It was going to be catered, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And a shuttle 4 times a day would come. Anybody that wants to go to town will pick you up, drop you off 4 times a day. We'll have a shuttle going back and forth. We signed the contracts or the lease. Not one person in this place has received a contract or lease. They signed it, they gave it away to them, and we were never given back. And I've been doing a little bit of research to see, has anybody gotten a lease here? Not one person there. There's 53 of us, not one person has received a lease. Now more questions start to arise of what's really going on. And yesterday they had a meeting. I actually stayed in the shower the whole time because I wanted to just stay back and listen to how it went. And it went down exactly the way I thought it would. There was a girl who interrupted everybody. Every time one person would talk, she was interrupting. Nobody was stopping her. You know, there was no structure to this meeting. The two people that ran it, they didn't run it. There was no structure to it. You know, like, you need to put these rules down. For one, everybody gets a chance to talk. We all need to be heard. As soon as I feel like I'm not heard, I'm walking out. And that's just as there's no different from every one of us. If you don't feel like you're being heard, you're going to walk away.
While Tracy discussed many of the issues with the new encampment, she also highlighted the insecurity and danger of living in the bush and the importance for personal security for the residents at this encampment.
My cabin personally has been broken into 5 times since I've been there. I've only been there 2.5 weeks. The food, it is not catered. They actually built a kitchen with no ventilation, no stove. So if it can go in a microwave, we're allowed to cook it. And that's what's on the list every day is microwavable food. There's no bread, milk, you know, like all of our basics that we need to survive. There is none of that. There's powdered milk. There's, you know, it's just ridiculous things that aren't there that was promised, right? One of the biggest things, like I said, with the lock, we need the security. Every one of us came from a tent. A lot of these people were in the bush because they'd get robbed all the time. I personally went into the bush about 5 times, 5 different bushes, and I was so scared. I was petrified of what's out there in the middle of the night, the things that you hear when you're out there. It's scary. It's a world that a lot of people don't know exists, but it's out there and it's ugly. You know, you're not in safe. You're not at safe at all. You're in a lot of danger when you're out there during these times. You know, a lot of controversy had come, like we read a lot of comments, like you should just blow these people up at the island. And I truly do believe, well, that, yeah, you stop these people from coming through their park. Of course, they're going to get angry with us because they think it's our fault now that they can't go on that island, which the city had made it completely our fault that this is being done. So until we get rid of them, you guys can't go on the island. You guys can't walk around. So, of course, who are you guys going to get pissed off at? We're the bad guys, you know, because the whole year we lived there, we had so much support from you guys, which thank you to everyone, especially Jamie, bringing us meals almost every day. You know, people bringing us cases of water, people just bringing us just the necessities that we needed to live off of and necessities that we don't get here that the region had built for us. And it was almost like they just built this. It's between a jail and a rehab. They do cabin check-ins every 3 hours. If you don't answer, they walk in. That's pretty uncomfortable if you're with your spouse on the bed, going to bed. That's really uncomfortable when somebody comes walking into your cabin that you're not expecting. And mind you, if you're on disability, you're paying $500 a month. If you're on welfare, you're paying $4,000. That's $30,000 a month. I think that they can afford to have us getting catered food every day. You know, a shuttle that's going 2-4 times a day. So at least those things that we were promised, you know. Because like I had said, every single one of us is one situation away from living in a tent.
Well, the event was peaceful, but bylaw officers forced the campers out of the park by consistent pestering them. There were no fines issued or arrests made. But as organizer Jamie Steef said in an email to me, bylaw were courteous enough, most likely because I'm a cishet female and pose no real threat. I try to remind myself that they're frontline workers who aren't really my target here. The visibility of things like tent encampments is part of what we're advocating for. The visibility of it is a really important element of keeping this issue on the table, of letting people in this community know these issues are still here and they don't disappear when you suddenly stop seeing tents in the park. Tracy's talk was really interesting, and she made a lot of claims that I wanted to ask the region about. Unfortunately, I couldn't get a comment by the time this episode needed to go to air, and so stay tuned for a follow-up with the region's responses. Listening to CKMS News on 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo. And this has been Trish Holmes on June 8, 2023. Thank you for tuning in. This program is part of the Local Journalism Initiative Grant Project and is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, Heritage Canada, and the CKMS Newsroom. Check out the archived versions of this program and other episodes on radiowaterloo.ca/news and other stories commissioned under the Local Journalism Initiative at canada-info.ca. You can follow us on Twitter at Radio Waterloo. If you want to get in touch with comments or ideas about stories to cover, email us at news@radiowaterloo.ca.